started. Thanks for that. Thank you all for coming out tonight. The main purpose for tonight's meeting and discussion is to give you some context for the non-binding referendum that you will see as you come to the polls on March 3rd. So we're going to try and set the stage for that as best we can with where we're at. The format of the meeting, I've got a six more slides, short presentation to try to focus the discussion on where I think we are or where we think we are, the board has seen all this. And then we'll just open it up and our vice chair, Mark, is going to run the forum part of it. And we'll just see where that goes and see what you guys want to talk about. So, the most important thing, I think, to take away from tonight's meeting is where exactly we are at in the overall process. And that is the process of improving our infrastructure so that we have safe, reliable access to the mainland for the foreseeable future. That's the goal here. We don't know what exactly that means yet, but we're on our way to discovering it. So where we're at in the process on any big, and I apologize for how small this is. I tried to get it bigger, but it just got way fuzzy, so I do apologize. But you do have handouts, so it should be the same as this. So the process for any big project is you go through a planning phase, you go through a design phase, you implement the design, and then you maintain whatever it is you build. There's life cycle for that. But generally speaking, that's the overall arch. So where we are in that process is sort of at the end of the planning stage, just about ready to try to do a design. And that's what this question box is. And I don't need to tell everybody that we've got two sites we're thinking about and looking at and have been looking at for some time. An engineered design, which is what we need to get grant money, what we need to actually build it, what we need to get real hard costs. That document is fairly expensive, usually, to create because it works on hard data. So we may have to go out and do a drilling program, test pits, structural analysis. We don't know exactly what we will need to do. It depends on the site. But it's fairly expensive, so the Board of Selectmen is suggesting that we, in this part of the process, we choose where we want to do that design. Sunset or Stonewall. So that's the task before us. That's not the task before us tonight. It's not really the task until we get to town meeting in June. We have committed, the board has committed, to bring the proposal to town meeting where you can dig at it and debate it properly and vote on it, that will send us in one direction or another with as much information as we can give you. And it's probably going to look like a specification for a request for proposals, or if we have time, maybe even some requests for proposals. We'll see where we're at that point in time. So to get there, we need to make this decision. We need to get some design specs. We need to figure out how we're going to fund that design effort, and we form a warrant article. So that's the task before us. The milestone is June town meeting. So to back up just a second, what we did during the planning phase of this, and as we all know, this has been going on for years and years. We've been talking about what to do at these sites. And it's no simple task. What we did at the tail end of this to try to focus it into a decision and action is we hired a consulting firm, Collins Engineering, to do a master plan at Stone Wharf and a master plan or a concept plan at Sunset. Those are planning tools, and that's what we're trying to use them. In the course of doing that, we set some directives and some criteria for those engineers to look at both sites so that we could have some sort of concrete things to discuss.
Our priority list was something like this. Safety was at the top of the list. Every meeting we went to, that topic came up. It's been an important one all along. Cost is always an important decision point in any process. The capacity of whatever it is we do, we're trying to look out into the future. We're trying to think ahead. We're trying to build something that will work for the foreseeable future in terms of getting us off the island to the mainland or the mountain. And then user experience. So we're looking to improve the safety. We're looking for affordable costs. We're looking for capacity that meets our needs, and we're looking for a user experience that we expect. You know, what are our expectations? And we've been trying to glean that through the public meeting presentation. So, as I said, an important one is the cost. Safety is it's pretty easy to talk about. The costs are harder to talk about, because you don't know what something costs until you're sitting there with your wallet out and you have to pay for it, especially in something like this. So what we did was we set some benchmarks for the planning process. We gave the Collins Engineer people a figure of about $4.5 million to try to meet all the criteria at both sites. And if you looked at the documents online, you'll see that they really couldn't do that. It's more like $6.5 million to meet all the criteria at both sites. That isn't to say that's what we're going to do. It isn't to say that we're not choosing one $6 million project over another $6 million project. What it does is it gives us two plans, and so we can look at the components, we can compare them, we can look at what the user experience is going to be with each other, what the cost is going to be on each component, and we can come to a decision about what the final design might look like. And the final design might not be a single grand design. It might be a set of incremental designs over the next 20 years. I mean, we're not there yet. And that's why our vision is still forming. So the concept plans that we got, how do we use them? We tried to answer the question, what would it look like if, basically what I just said, what would it look like if we were to meet the criteria that we set out for safety and capacity and all the other things at each of the sites? What would a drawing of that look like? What would the components of that look like? And that's what the concept plans do. They presented us several options at each site to meet that criteria. The Board of Selectmen chose two of them, and these are the two that we had up in our public meetings. We had them up on the wall, and we discussed them in some detail last spring. But these are the two. This is Sunset down here, and Stone Wharf up there. So those were our benchmark plans, the concepts that we were going to use to compare and to have the discussion. And that's what we're doing now. We're in the process of doing that even right now. We had a bunch of public meetings in the spring. And the other thing that we did was to document this process, we started to develop our own document, which we have the unwieldy title of Report on the Concept Plans for Transportation Facilities at the Stone Wharf and Sunset Landing. That document's online. It's a draft document. It's documenting the process. As I said, the process this part of the process won't end until annual town meeting. So that document is a living, moving document. It's got text in there that the board has yet to vote on. It's got ideas and concepts in there. But there are three pieces of it that I just wanted to let you know, because it's hard to read that document. And if you haven't been to all the meetings, it's hard to come along with us. It really is. You get that. So, great. So, these are two of the tables. So, this is really just intended not to see the text. This is really just intended to look at kind of how we've laid things out. So, we've got three basic tables. This table is a subjective table. The way we put it together was we had a marathon meeting one day, one Saturday, I think. We had 12 points, and we had Sunset, we had Stone Wharf, we had pros and cons and pros and cons. We just pedantically went through every box, and the board said what they said. We gave our deputy clerk the unenviable task of getting a table together that sort of tried to encompass the main points. She did a great job doing it. That's what this table of pros and cons is. It's subjective. Its purpose was to make sure we kind of touched all the bases in the discussion. It was not a scoring exercise. We didn't expect a winner one way or the other. It was really just trying to touch all the bases and get a feel for where the board and where the participating community was at that day. The next table is a comparison of features. This one tries to be very objective. It looks at these two plans, that we've chosen, and it says, how many parking spaces here, how many parking spaces there? What's the barge look like here? What's the barge look like there? And it tries to just objectively pull information from the plan to say, you know, this is the attributes of this plan, and this is the attributes of this plan in an objective way. The cost benchmarks is the third table in that report. And there are basically six categories down the left-hand side. And where we could pull costs out of the concept plans, we attributed those components costs. For example, the barge ramp down at Sunset is like a $2 million component. The plan for Stone Wharf didn't even address the barge. It just sort of left it where it was. So the cost for that is zero in that plan. So those are sort of like weighing the components of the two plans in very rough benchmark numbers. So again, the reason to have that benchmark and the reason to look at the same cost at both sites is for comparative reasons. It's a planning tool. Again, it's not the plan that you're voting on at town meeting. It's not the plan that you're voting on in the referendum. I had this down to 10 minutes, but I don't think I'm going to make it. So the next question is, what have we learned? Where are we at? What have we learned from the process so far? And what we've learned, and again, I apologize for the small text. What we've learned is that what the plans have proven to us is that we can meet the criteria at either site. So we had this list of components that we wanted to say, can we put a marina there? Can we put the fishermen there? Can we put the ferry there? Can we park cars there? Can we put a barge ramp there? And so, at least in a conceptual way, those two plans prove that we can do that at either site. They also bring out design challenges that are and each site has its own set of challenges, as you can imagine, because they're very different sites. So they gave us some insight, and part of the report that we're working on will go through in a more detailed way what those design challenges are. By design challenges, I mean like just the parking capacity at the Stone Wharf, for example, sea level rise at the Stone Wharf, eelgrass down at Sunset was a design challenge. That's why the wharf is as long as it is. That's why the barge ramp has to go out over the eelgrass. So these were design challenges that have either been met to some degree or not. They are a little bit the known unknowns. And obviously there's a whole bunch of unknown unknowns as well. That's what we gleaned out of that, out of the process. So that's really where we're at. That's the information that we have to work with. We can do both of this. Oh, there was a third thing on that previous one. Another thing we learned, which surprised me just because I'm a landlubber and don't know much about fishing, but the Sunset plan had a place for fishermen to come. And it turns out through what we've learned through this discussion since last April and now is that the fishermen really had no interest in the back shore at all, at least not in taking their boats over there and every night and mooring them over there or offloading things. We couldn't muster a lot of interest in that site from a commercial fishing standpoint. So we kind of set that apart. It's still in the plan, and that's what we talked about, so that's what's in the document. But we've kind of come to a consensus on the board that we probably don't want to move the fishermen off of Stone Wharf. That may change, but right now that's what, where we think we're at with the process. And we kind of came to the same conclusion with the recreational boaters, although there's probably less evidence-based for that. But it's, you know, there's reasons why we've sort of also set that aside for the time being. So the question for you guys on March 3rd is, should the Board of Selectmen bring a proposal to town meeting on June 13th, 2020 to engage a consultant to create an engineering design for our primary transportation improvement facilities at, and you have a place at Stone Wharf, Sunset Landing, excuse me, or neither. And how do you determine that? Obviously everybody has to determine it in their own way. Is there enough hard data to say which one of those sites? It's up to you. What we're really trying to do, what this board is trying to do, is figure out what to bring to town meeting that might pass. So if we get a whole surge of people that put Sunset Landing there, it's gonna say to us, we really need to think about that. We need to weigh that in our decision on what to bring to town meeting, if it's overwhelming one way or the other. If it's not, we'll probably have to rely on other criteria. Or if people interpret this, and this is one of my concerns, if people interpret this as a $6 million project at Stone Wharf or a $6 million project at Sunset, forget it. I don't want you to do anything. That's too much money. That's the wrong way to look at this. That doesn't give us any information. That sort of just stops things in its tracks. So what we hope you'll do is, based on what you know, what you feel, which, you know, where you're at with this, what you've heard, is we're trying to take the pulse of the community, which direction we're going to go in. That's why it's a non-binding referendum. This is one piece of information we'll use in the next few months to bring, hopefully, something to town meeting that will meet with your approval. No questions yet. Soon, though. Hold it. Mark's going to take questions. So the only, and I'm wrapping up now, this is the last slide. I just want to let you know that the three reports, the Collins report and our draft report, are on the website, along with a bunch of other backup information for your viewing. I hope you go and read it and think about it, and I hope you come and take the referendum, and I especially hope you come to town meeting and help us figure it out. So that's all we have. I'm going to turn over to Mark Dyer, our vice chair, who's going to run a forum now for the remainder of the meeting. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you, Herb. So as Herb has so eloquently laid out, the goal on Tuesday is to have the community that wants to vote on it tell us what you all want us to do, where you want the focus to be. That's all that you're voting on Tuesday. You're not voting on allowing us to then bring a plan for you at the next town meeting that would be have a value of $6 million or up. You're literally just telling us on Tuesday we prefer the existing site where we're traveling from now, the proposed possible site at Sunset Landing, or you may choose neither. That's up to you. I think it's important to understand, just keep in the back of your mind, that we are just asking you to tell us where you think we should focus. That's Tuesday. Then if we get a result that we can read from Tuesday, then we will take that result and we will consider bringing a warrant article to you possibly at the next town meeting or a future town meeting, if we don't make that one, to possibly ask you to expend an amount of money to be determined to possibly design something that would have engineering quality in it, not a concept picture, not a picture that looks good on paper, something that could actually be built. then from that, if that process happened, and I'm jumping ahead just so you understand what could be for a process, if we brought a warrant article to town meeting and it was $100,000, say, to design an engineered set of drawings, then we would probably put that out for an RFP for a final design. Then if it jumped forward into the future, then we could possibly look at what it might actually cost to build a new design. That's way in the future, if ever. So that's the process. That's what you're going to be voting on. Herb showed you the draft non-binding referendum sheet for Tuesday. With that, I'm going to open it up for questions. I'm going to ask people to raise their hands. I'll recognize you. I'd like everyone to be able to speak at least once before I keep recognizing the same individual. Go right ahead, Ernie.
I'd like to make note of the concept plan for the stone pier. There's three things in that concept plan that physically cannot happen. Number one, unless you're going to put wheels on a new transportation boat that move the float up where there is no water, and there won't be any water there unless they blast the ledge out of there that's there. So that's number one. Number two, as it will not happen, that they will not fill in the coal or deck it over, because the DEP has already told previous to this concept plan, he's already told us that that's not possible. And the third one is the concept plan shows no access for fishermen to use the west side of the wharf, which we desperately need, because if we come in to take out deer, and then when it's northeast, we like to go on the west side. If we come in to take out here and 30 miles an hour to the west, we like to go take out on the other side. We can have land access and parking in there. We need our 30 days to take up, 30 days to search, right? There's a lot of things about this that I think is premature to present this particular plan, this concept plan, for the Stone Pier for consideration at the meeting, because of the three things I just pointed out. There's a possibility that will and cannot happen.
Thank you, Ernie. And I think it's fair to say that Ernie's points are valid, but at this point, that is just a concept down there. And if we decided to do anything to the stone pier, a lot of those things could change.
Okay.
Anybody I don't know if they would, but does anybody disagree with that statement?
Nope.
Thank you, Ernie. Mary?
I note on the design challenges and outstanding issues, the sea level rise. And I know that we don't have a real figure about what it will cost to address the sea level rise, and that's not addressed in the concept plan. Any hope of having such a figure before we go to town meeting?
I don't have an answer.
What we have right now is just word of mouth. I understand that.
I don't have an answer to that. I would like to recognize Carol White, who may have talked with someone.
Yeah, so when you read the report, sea level rise is a design criteria for the stone wharf. So it was taken into account in the stone wharf, and what they say is that you could do things incrementally and make those changes over time. And so I think it's erroneous to say sea level rise isn't considered in the Sunset Plan. I did try to call Dan O'Connor. When I talked to a couple other engineers, they did not believe that the number would double because of sea level rise. And I think we are not the only community that is facing a war that is low for sea level rise. You know, there's going to be some creative solutions out there. So I guess I think characterizing the fact that the concept plan for the Stone Wharf doesn't take into account sea level rise is incorrect. That's, if you read the report that the engineers wrote, they use it as a design criteria, a concept design criteria. So I feel like it's misrepresented by saying it's not included.
Go ahead, Donna.
I'm the person who spoke with Collins Engineer about this, because as we were going through it, we all thought that that number was in here. If you look at those, at the chart of their estimate, they came with 6,600,000 with their estimate. And so we went through, but they didn't break it down. It didn't say how much will it cost to do the east side, the west side, putting the ramps and all that. And so this board gave me permission to call the engineer. I did call the engineering company. He got back to me the next day. He said, I'm sorry it took me so long to get back to you. I went back and reviewed all of the materials that we had. And the estimate that he gave me, there were two options. One is if you just kind of keep raising it. And as Carol said, it could be done incrementally. The total cost that he gave me after he had looked at it, and I think that number is as good as any of these other numbers, which none of them we, you know, we don't have any firm numbers on anything, really. He said 6 million. I said, what's the 6 point? First of all, I was in shock. He based it on the square footage. He had a number for the square footage. That would be if you did the whole 3 feet all at once. So I said, what's the 6.6? And he said, that is if you encapsulate the wharf, which I don't even understand what that means. I just put cement or something around it and raise it, it would cost more money. So Carol's right that it could be done incrementally if you did add the, did one section at a time. The problem with that is, the engineer said, if you went with the plan we have now, that say we did, we don't know if we're ever going to go with that plan. But if we did go with that plan, we would have to, it doesn't work, because you would have to, every time you raise the wharf up incrementally, you'd have to raise up everything else that you've already built. So it is it's complicated. That is I think that's the best way to say it. It is complicated, but I am the person who spoke with them, and he gave me his best idea. It was not an off the cuff. He took time and did research, and that's what he came up with.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
Go right ahead.
From a process standpoint, if people vote neither, if that is what the overwhelming result is, what does the board do with that information?
In my opinion, if we get a majority of votes that say neither on this referendum, then we're not going to be doing much at all in preparation for any warrant article for an upcoming town meeting for a design cost. Is that a fair answer as far as the board is concerned? Anybody else have a different way of looking at it?
I don't think the referendum is the sole deciding factor. It's one of many factors. We haven't sat down and discussed those factors or what exactly those things are going to mean. It may depend on how many people show up at the March 3rd. It may depend on what other information becomes available. We may still bring something to the town meeting. It just may be much smaller, because there's very little doubt that we need to improve the safety over what we're doing at the status quo here. And so just saying we're not going to do anything would be a hard pill for me to swallow as a taxpayer and a user of that ferry every morning.
Can I add to that?
Quickly.
Okay. I think that I agree with her, and I think if people did vote neither, that doesn't mean we're not ever going to do anything at the Stone Wharf for regular maintenance and that kind of thing. Just, so it's not like if in fact we decided not to do one of these big plans, it doesn't mean something else might not, that we're not going to keep the waterfront. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Right, and I didn't mean to insinuate with my answer that we would actually do absolutely nothing down there at that point. So that's a good, that's a better reply. I just, what I meant was, and I'll be surprised if the majority is to do nothing, quite frankly, but, you know, I've been surprised before. I just meant that that would weigh in on how I would look at how we proceed, at least timeline-wise from here.
Why don't you have a guy in the
back
corner that says it?
Go ahead.
What's the projected cost of these studies?
The best number we have is what's actually in the concept plan. And, of course, it's based on a rough percentage of the cost of the concept plan. And it's somewhere north of $300,000.
Per site?
Per site. The likelihood of us actually spending that much is probably, it depends entirely on the design. So, and I will say that we also have about $300,000 currently in the reserve. So even if we decide to do a design engineer, the ask at town meeting, the dollar amount ask, may not be that much, if anything.
Joe.
The concept of having moved like a ramp and stuff over to Sunset so that the barges could come and go. If someone were to say, look, why don't we just kind of keep what we've got at zero expense at the Stone Pier and eliminate that at Sunset, is there any savings in kind of splitting this project up? You say, you know, we listen to what Ernie said, and you've got the idea that there are some big hardships and hardships on the local fishermen. And so, why not leave them where they are and move the, you know, the summer folk parking over to Sunset kind of concept?
We've tossed those conversations around a little bit, Joe, and so I guess I'll go to your barging ramp. Did you suggest moving barging from?
I suggested not adding barging to the Sunset expense.
Oh, to the Sunset expense.
Take it out.
So the barging number that we got so far in this concept, and again, like Donna has said, and Herb has also said, these are just prices, but based on what could be possible to design and build at Site A and Site B.
So can it be kind of a la carte where you can take out things and add things?
Sure, you could look at it that way. You could recommend it that way. So right now, just to do a barge ramp and a staging area and a road, and it might not even involve this estimate, probably wouldn't even involve the access road issues of having to, you know, possibly negotiate with a landowner to widen the existing right-of-way road down there. So just the barging setup down there was $2 million, somewhere around
so
there.
So what I'm saying is, could we just cut that out?
Yeah. You could cut that out of that price down there, sure.
At Sunset, yes.
Yeah. Jane.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. My first one is, I guess, what is the panic? I wrote you guys a letter a while back, and I don't understand why we have to think about spending $6 million, in the next year or so, whatever. Maybe that's not where you are. But one of my questions is, if I vote for the Stone Wharf, which is where I would like to keep the operation, am I voting for the Collins design, or is it going to be something?
There is no Collins design yet.
Well, there's they came and talked.
There's a drawing, there's a plan, there's a concept.
Okay.
And
so my other question would be, if I want the third option, which would be to put a parking lot on the golf course and make sure that the Stone Wharf is what it should be, move the ramp for the CTC and things like that, we don't really have a concept of what that costs. But if that's what I want to choose, am I checking off neither? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
It's a really good question.
Am I checking off scope here?
We debated that when we debated the idea of doing a referendum and keeping it simple, because it's not a simple problem.
Because for me, there's always been that third option. There's never been just one and two. There's always been...
So to answer your question, your earlier question that I didn't mean to dismiss, a vote for sunset is going to make us look in that direction. What we design, what we think will pass a town meeting, what we think the citizens of the town want to do down there, how much they want to spend, we're going to have to discuss that. You're not voting for a $6 million plan if you vote for sunset. You're not voting for a $6 million plan if you vote for a stone wall. So you're just voting for where do you want our attention to go?
Okay. And the other point I don't think there's any other group, and I wrote you guys this too. As far as I can see, there's really no other group on the island who is going to finance the stone wharf. If we move to Sunset, the taxpayers are going to take care of the stone wharf. There's not the fishermen, not all of the fishermen by any means even use the stone wharf, has been my observation. And I just don't think that recreational boaters going to Cousins Island are going to want to cough up thousands of dollars to keep that in operation. So,
David.
Yeah. There's one point I'd like to make here, and that is the fear of spending a lot of money, sticker shock, whatever you want to call it. And we're looking at what looks like $6 million here or $6 million there. The fact of the matter is, it's a chicken and egg problem. We can't go out for funding from the state of Maine, from the U.S. government, from any one of the federal sources without a firm plan on paper and a firm cost associated with it. So when we say we're talking about $6 million, I would like to hope that what we're really talking about is 20% of whatever it is we want to do, and that's what we'll move forward to get funding from outside sources. So what I'd like to think about is putting the dollar number aside for now and making this really exactly what we've been talking about, a concept plan. Do we like the concept of being there? Do we like the concept of being over here? Do we like the concept of something that's in between, some kind of mixing of the services? And let us worry about the money later, because if you say we can't afford $6 million and we can't do anything, that's the wrong way to look at it. So I just want to keep that in mind, that please don't think of $6 million as coming out of our pockets. Hopefully some of it's going to be coming out of our other citizens' pockets.
But I also do want to reiterate just one more time. If you vote for either Stone Wharf or Sunset on Tuesday, you're not voting to spend money yet.
Right.
You're not even voting for either one of those concept plans. And like Ernie has pointed out, and people have pointed out at Sunset, they both have some deficiencies, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And so you just need to keep that. Really, we're trying to get the pulse of the community so that we don't make this decision from a group of five and have people say, well, just three of them made that decision. That's really where I'm coming from. I understand the confusion and the concern, I really do. But we cannot spend money unless town meeting by vote authorizes us to do that. Go right ahead.
Jane touched on it. My question is, if the town, as a result of March 3rd, says A or B, are we committed to Collins per se? Or is there another outfit we might look at? Mm. Because we don't want to do this big plan that they gave us. We would like to do what we think is good for the next, let's say, 10 years of A, B, C, D, E, and go to somebody else, or are we committed to Collins?
We would likely, if the voters give us permission to focus on a site and we decide to bring a warrant article to the town meeting, we would likely come up with a number that we would like to have permission to spend, and we would likely put that out for requests for proposals to multiple engineering outfits and see what comes back.
So we're not committed to Collins?
Not necessarily. Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Ralphie.
I think we're missing a big part.
I feel like we're jumping ahead. We can, I think you can learn a lot by history. And not sound like the old guy now, but when I started using stone pier 30 plus years ago, coming back and forth with my Elkwood, there was three boats, including mine down. It's grown into what we have down there now. We're outgrowing it. It's overcrowded. There's too many boats. Kind of the same thing with the park. That's grown. I want to know why, not the board in general, but the town more so. If you look up around down the coast, there's no other place that I can find that allows people to just come over, tie a boat up, hop in a car, leave a car park down there overnight and over the weekend, and do work on the island or drive around or whatever they want to do. Why aren't we limited the access to use of the floats to town personnel, people that live here, the people that pay taxes? I don't think it's right. I don't think you find it anywhere else in the state. Maybe someplace else in the state, but no place that I'm aware of. If you limit that, this problem becomes smaller. And if you look back 30 plus years, there was three boats down there. If you look ahead 30 years, I don't care what you build. You could put a marina in there that holds 100 boats. It's going to be overflowed. You need to concentrate on limiting the amount of people.
Yeah, so that type of question would be a policy / ordinance of this town. And we just haven't revisited the current usage or the current ordinance or policies is the honest answer to that.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is I think we need to do that because that's going to really change what we actually need. Because right now, if you drive down there on the weekend at night or during the week, there's a lot of cars back there, and the majority of them don't live here on Chabay. And it's not right for us to take on the financial burden and make sure they have a parking spot. That never happened before. I remember when I was a kid, my parents had some contractors come over, and we picked them up and we dropped them off at the wharf, and they had their own vehicle. That was a common thing. Rarely did you ever see a vehicle parked down there that didn't belong to somebody on Chabay.
Right, and one thing that we haven't done much work on at all, in my opinion, is to look at any possible value of an off-site lot for that type of activity. We haven't really dipped into that, in my opinion. Go ahead.
Jane had two questions. the other thing, the gully that's alongside the Wharf Road on the golf house side mm-hmm. of the golf course, if culverts were put in there and then filled over with gravel, we would gain twice as much parking as what we do with the diagonal park, you know, with the parallel parking up the road. How come that hasn't happened? What is stopping that? You know, because I can remember talking about this to Med, and he said, you give me 10 minutes, I'll have that project done. You know, so it's a simple thing, and it would double the parking as we see it now, and I don't understand.
What was the holdup?
Yeah. What's keeping us from doing that, period?
It's us dragging our feet. So about a year and a half ago, we talked about looking at possibly widening the Stone Wharf Road. And the furthest we've got with that, in my opinion, is we've had one conversation down there with the individual that helps us surface our roads at Allstate asphalt, and one or two of us. So we just haven't got it done, and it's on the list. Yeah, it's on my list, and it's on my radar as a goal to possibly look at widening the Stone Wharf Road within the boundaries that we could use right now. That's the best I can. Does anybody else have a better?
Well, I'll add that it's also in the capital plan. I mean, we have a line item to pay attention to us and keep it on.
So it's like painful baby steps. I agree with you.
I get that a lot.
I don't know if I want to.
It's paving the North Road and the cottage.
I don't know if I want to face my windshield down towards the T's, though. I'm not sure about that.
Got it back in.
It's the Elizabeth.
Just one sec, John. Jeff.
I just think it's a little frustrating that
we have to think about embarking on this whole design plan, where, you know, you're gonna end up going through federal agencies and Army Corps and, you know, the people in the town that are gonna have to put in the legwork to make this happen are gonna have just an incredible amount of work, when we seem to be being frustrated by not even being able to dredge and maintain what we have. I just think that it's not so much about spending the money and, you know, deciding on a plan. It's the year-round residents that are involved in the committees and whatnot on the island are going to have to put in a ton of work at a time when we can't even get the dredging that we're, I mean, in really dire need of. We needed it yesterday. We needed it 2 years ago. I mean, I'd like to see us focus on maintaining what we have before we're putting in so much effort into, you know, broadening that. I know we have to have a, you know, a 50-year plan or whatever, but we also have to focus on what we're in desperate need of right now. I hope that's happening.
I would agree with that. Aaron, I'll get right back.
To that end, excuse me, if Sunset is the choice on this vote, will there be a concurrent request for information to maintain the stone wharf, or are we just going to let that go into dust? Because the fact of the matter is, I don't see that happening. So now we're taking care of two places instead of one.
I think that has to be on the mind of this town and most any voter. If we decide to develop anything else, anywhere else on this island, I don't see the stone wharf going away or not being used or needing some attention. John and then Ernie.
Is there any thought for the June meeting to bring back whether the town would like to have the golf course piece of property for parking?
I don't know if we're going to visit that before June.
I don't think we'd be ready if we wanted to.
We could.
I suspect we'll discuss it as part of the design. We'll have to, as part of the design specification. Whether we can actually take action before then or be ready to take action, I'm not sure. But it's not off the table, if that's the question.
The question was that it was asked of the town some time back, did we want to do that, take over that piece of property? And the town said no. So in order to change that, you have to go back and ask the town if they would like to reconsider it. And that's my question, are you going to bring it back to reconsider?
Well, the vote was when we were trying to maximize the parking on that lot and we had to change the zoning. That's not necessarily how we're going to use that parcel. So it may not be the same question that we bring back to town. It may or may not.
But if you ask the town, do you want to take over that property, and the town says yes, you don't necessarily have to take it over if your design says we don't need it. But if your design says we ought to use it, then you got to come back to the town at a later date. So why not do it now?
Yeah, just 1 second, David. So just to let you know, John, I did report to the board probably back in November that a resident contacted me that is part of the golf course and wanted me to talk about that. And what I said to that individual was, you know, I would gladly talk most any time to you, but if you and the golf course are going to ask for discussions to begin between the golf course and the town of Chibig, we should formalize those discussions. So we have been, or I have been, at least informally reapproached by the golf course. Whether we will bring that to you before June, I don't know yet.
We're on June.
Did that answer your question?
It should be before June, but I would think it should be at least at June.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, we'll see. Go ahead.
Yeah, you pretty much said what I was going to say, because there are two things. Number one is the golf course still willing to basically lease it for $1 for 100 years, whatever the deal is? And the indication is they probably would be. And second of all, the $100,000 that was estimated to turn it into a parking lot, does that cost still hold? And then thirdly, as Mark has pointed out, can we put that all together in time for the June referendum? But it's my opinion, I think we do have some parties that are interested in doing that, and it could open up some possibilities for expansion down the wharf.
I bet you could do it for less than $100,000.
Well, that was the cost that
you don't have to put in asphalt.
It was no asphalt. No, it's a catch basin. It's a control of the water and stuff.
Go right ahead, Ernie.
I forgot. The third thing that really can't be done, if it's compared, I only gave the two, so I'll finish it out. The third thing is when you raise up the stone pier for sea level rise, I don't think any marine contractor or construction person will put granite on top of that wall. That now I don't care what anybody says, I can get down there and look at that wall and put my fingers in the crack between the tar and the granite, and it is moving outward because the crack keeps getting wider every year. Nobody is going to put granite on top of that wall. They will take a wall down and start at the base and rebuild that section of wall before they do anything to talk about it. I don't think it's possible to put granite on top of that. Now, they may do it some other way. But another thing, I had a conversation with John Lewis, who is the DML Agriculture Director, presently, and he told me that perhaps this might be something that people that might want to vote for the concept plan for Sunset Landing. He said that in all probability, not carving granite, but the DMI will wait until after our town meeting to decide whether or not to allow that lease site for a kelp lease directly in front of where we might potentially build a landing. In my opinion, an unsafe situation. So that's one thing that I'd like to see the selectmen consider, that even if they do grant that lease, most leases are granted for a certain period of time, and I'd like to see the Board of Selectmen, in the event that we don't decide to do anything in Sunset for a while, I'd like to see the selectmen ask them to put a shorter period of time on that lease, so that if we then did decide to do something with it, after all the money we paid to come over and buy the property and try to call the plan and all the time people spent going meetings, if we do decide to do something with it, we'd have the ability to have a safe situation there. There's 5 feet of water above those lines that they put down to string their kelp lines on. So there's a grid where all the food rope and line. And then on top of that grid, they put other rope, which is sheeted to grow kelp on. So any vessel with 5 foot of grass that happens to stumble over that, whether it be CPC or a sailboat, or me or anybody, the 5 foot grass is going to have a problem. It's an unsafe situation. So I'd like to see someone do something with it. I just thought perhaps people should know that that's one thing to take to it.
Okay.
Otherwise, if we vote not to do anything with Sunset, in all likelihood, they will grant that lease as it was applied.
Okay. Thank you, Ernie. Carol.
Yeah, I guess to Jeff's point, I was wondering if the decision is one way or the other in the community, why do we have to go put a warrant article in to do an engineering design? Is it essential that we move forward on that in 2021? I mean, if I recall, try to answer the question, could that pier be used, and if so, what were the options? But I thought it was because we're kind of, like, we still seem to be sort of stuck. And that's, so I'm just wondering why this decision is to go ahead with a full-blown engineering study right away. What is the, you know, the urgency?
I'm only going to speak for myself. The other four selectmen can speak for themselves, obviously. I'm not sure I would go along with a warrant article for this town meeting if they choose, let's say, Stone Wharf. I don't see the emergency urgency down there. I do think we should still, if we don't decide to do much of any improvements at the Stone Wharf, I think we should still not lose our focus on possibly widening the Stone Wharf Road, possibly negotiating with the golf course to see if that property could be beneficial or not, and still thinking about some longer, wider ramps, both at Cousins Island and the Stone Wharf, regardless of what type of improvements we make or not. That's my
right,
my take.
So I mean, if you were going to say Sunset was a community preference, the time frame for constructing that facility for use is going to be 5 to 10 years. So we probably need to do some things at the Stone Wharf. I mean, my personal concern is safety, and there's some things we could do to improve the safety. So I mean, that's where I was coming from 3 or 4 years ago when we started down this path. So that's kind of why I feel like now the community feels like they're being presented with this big expense for an engineering study, when I thought that the purpose was to make a decision, you know, where the community wanted to turn their attention. It didn't mean we had to do a full-blown engineering.
No, I understand. And Carol Sebastianski can tell you that the subject of possibly looking at a modification along with Yarmouth's assistance over at Cousins Island has already been at least brought up once with them over at a meeting. So that's just the beginning of a conversation which could help improve things at least on one side, possibly.
So I'd follow that up and to pick up on that. There are some things we've defined already that will require some engineering down there, like installing 80-foot ramps. And that's why the referendum is only one set of criteria. So it may be that if the town chooses and the board agrees that we should focus on Sunset, it may be that we put that on a different track and we take care of that. May be the decision, and the engineering that we bring to town meeting in June may describe it that way. Yes, there's an ultimate plan to move to Sunset, but that's certainly a viable possibility, and especially since we already have some things on the radar screen, both on Cousins and on this side, we will likely do that.
So if I understand you guys correctly, then we're not necessarily going to vote on a warrant article for a $300,000 engineering study of one site or the other.
I would like to think, if I may, I would like to think that we will have the question settled at town meeting about which direction we want to go as a community. If the context for having that discussion and having that vote is to spend money on something that makes sense, and it's to spend money on Stone Wharf even though we've decided to go to Sunset, I think the important thing is to make a decision so that we can plan and move this whole process forward. But we have design needs right now at the Stone Wharf that we will need to address either in the context of moving to the Stone Wharf or in the context of moving to Sunset. So you're right in what you say. The vote isn't a full-blown necessarily. As I said, we may do this in two 20-year increments or three 10-year increments. Or, you know, we don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know that there's a silver bullet out there that we're going to go get a $6 million or a $12 million or a $15 million check and solve it in a year. I mean, that's not what this process is going to look like, I don't think.
Go ahead.
Commenting on Ernie's thoughts on how the wharf at Stone Wharf is in such disrepair, is it at all possible at this time to say that cars can no longer drive down the wharf, instead pull in, turn around in the parking area and drop people right off and move on along back up the road? That's what I do, it's not what my husband does, but I don't think we should have cars on the wharf anymore. Where people turn around and their front wheels are going close to that granite that's getting pushed further and further off, there's quite a deep dip there. It's impossible not to notice. So could we start with a tiny plan there?
A plan that would restrict or
yes.
or not allow vehicle
right.
passage?
I'll either rescue but the typical person.
Sure, we could look at anything like that. Whether we would implement it or not, or whether it would be enforceable or not, I don't know. I think maybe one thing that we might have to do, regardless of whether we put a big project into Stone Wharf, is to consider having some sort of a structural assessment of the facility. That may involve some coring or digging down into where the sag area is happening, looking at, you know, was the bulge built into it or is it being pushed down? What about the part over by the barge ramp? That might be something that we need to look at possibly considering spending some money on at some point before we certainly put money into a facility like that. I know that doesn't completely answer your question whether we're going to restrict vehicles.
Yes.
I guess I would have to give that one some more thought. Donna.
We found a picture from 1898 of the stone wharf where the bulge was in the stone wharf. That's not to say that it isn't, that something hasn't changed, but it's very evident. There's a big steamboat in there, and you can see how it bulges out. And part of the problem, too, is it's we know that sand goes in and out of that wharf. So you end up getting holes. It dips down, especially with the pressure on it. And you've got tar. It was never originally tar. So you don't really see when you're losing the sand. So it needs some kind of an evaluation, as Mark said. I think that, and I'm only speaking for myself, but when we look at these two plans, the plan for the stone wharf is much more, it's not as specific as the plan for Sunset. When you look at the plan for Sunset, that's a different kind of a plan because it's starting fresh. But and for the meetings that we've had, it seems like nobody's happy with anything, any of the suggestions at the stone wharf on that plan. So that means that if the stone wharf goes forward, this board's got to figure out in the next 3 or 4 months what it is we really want to do there. Because I don't think there's anybody who thinks that plan as it's presented is what we need. So, and we need to be tweaked somehow. And so I think that in order to have a warrant article that would even have a hope of getting some engineering, this board has a lot of work to do.
Yes.
One question, I guess, regarding the Sunset Landing. Does the proposal, would that fully utilize all the land on that property, or is there some residual value left of the Sunset Landing if you developed it as it was? And if you didn't do it, you know, could that be used as a funding source to dispose of that land and pay for all the improvements you want to make on an alternative site?
So your first question is how much did the concept plan take up? I can't remember that number.
About half
of it. And your second question is, if nothing was done down there,
could you dispose of that property to pay for the improvements?
Yeah, of course, any disposal of any town-owned, most anything, has to have majority vote of the registered voters. We can recommend it or not to the people. So it would have to be a series of public meetings probably, or some public discussion, and then a recommendation or not from the Board of Selectmen or a citizens initiative petition, either way.
Yeah, basically nothing's off the table. The concept plan referred to the extra land as open space land and found value in it for that. So the community would have to decide that that it was more important to reap the benefits than to have the open space. You know, we could sell the whole thing and fund Stonepier too.
Right.
All those options are open.
When it comes to the two options in getting funding from the state and other sources, does one site have more likelihood of a higher percentage than another? Does the state prefer building new or rebuilding?
I don't think so.
I'm not sure how that would be measurable. Do you don't have a sense for that, Marjorie?
I don't have a sense of it. Yeah. I think all grants are kind of a crapshoot against me.
Sorry, wish we could give you an answer.
But I think it would depend on what you were going to do at each place. I mean, I think that would make a difference.
Yes. Can you be specific about that? Like,
well, I mean, if you were, it would depend on if you had a really strong proposal to do something, rather than, you know, pie in the sky thing. I mean, if we were going to try to get $50 million to build a heliport or whatever with it, or if we're trying to meet the basic needs. I mean, that's really what the state would look at in either place, don't you think?
I think so. Mary, go ahead.
So I have a site here for the Federal Transportation Administration, and their grant is for the purpose of to support and enhance passenger ferry service, terminals, and related facilities and equipment. It doesn't say new. It says enhanced.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, go ahead, Erica.
I have a question. One of the criteria is for safety, and Ernie mentioned it, and you mentioned it. Have there been any of the studies that have been done a kind of inspection that is exclusively on safety? Like, I think we have anecdotes and observations of how safe it is right now. Say that we bump that up as the number one criteria. Is there a way to assess it? You talked about boring. Like, I think that you knew how safe it was to getting a safety inspection in the house.
Has there been anything yet? Is that your question?
Right, that would help know, you know, say people voted neither.
No, we
don't have an outside expert saying that, well, neither is, you know, maybe for different motives, but we just don't know how unsafe it is, I guess. If it isn't inspected, if we don't know.
Right, so we have not. We have not engaged any engineer or engineering firm or company or anyone to come down and give us a evaluation of the structural integrity / safety of the stone wharf. Was that your question?
Yeah, I guess I have to just say, are you kidding me? Why? How have we come this far and not that minimum to anything else?
I'm going to
engineering or some get expert to say, is this a safety or not?
I'm going to recognize her, but it seems like he may.
I think you can look at the designs. That safety was our number one priority in these two concept plans, and we made that very clear. They did a traffic study at Stone Wharf, so we know how many cars go down there. They stood there and they counted cars and they watched the dynamics and they made assessments of that. The landscape architect, I've forgotten his name now, but and it's part of that report. The components of traffic safety are in both plans: pedestrian walkways, traffic flow, you know, not have people backing up and going around, taking congestion and you know, not having congestion areas. I mean, it's not rocket science, but it's also not trivial. But it's safe to say, I think, that the site that's there now has kind of none of those features. We share the pedestrian way with the cars, and the cars are going, they turn whatever way, you know, some people go this way around and we go that way around, or vice versa, and then the barge is coming in and they're backing big trucks in. I mean, it's fairly obvious that it's not safe. Pedestrian walkway and traffic flow are the keys, and they were addressed,
and they were addressed in the plans. So
I think I'm talking about the safety of the structure, the actual physical, the concrete, the pilings.
Well, they assess that too. They don't think it's going to fall down in the near term.
And yet we don't know. I haven't been to all the meetings, but we have not done, as Mark said, an engineer, I don't know what it would be called, but a structural assessment to bore down or put divers down there.
As soon as we determine where to put our thoughts and our energy, I don't know that we would necessarily do that if we thought we were going to move to Sunset tomorrow. At least not right away. That might not be the priority anymore. We have to make this decision. We're at the point of making the decision. And then we can look at what design is going to come out of that. That's where we're at. That's why we've been, going around in circles for 3 years.
Kim and then John Camosi.
Well, we kind of know what's in the stump here. I mean, what was it, 20 years ago or whatever, they dug the entire thing out and filled it with crushed rock, and that's why we have so much problem, because it's washing it all out. I mean, the answers would just be when they dig down to see what's left. That's why we're getting sinkholes and why pieces are falling off, and why we made the rebuild bowl over by the barge, because they took apart what was not broken and put little tiny rocks in it that have been washing out ever since. So we know what's in it, we just don't know how much of it's left in there.
She's right. We have somewhat of an idea of what was put down in there. We just don't know how it's holding up or how vital it is to go down in there and look at it as of yet. And we probably will end up doing that someday, but we're not quite there yet.
I think I'm not being clear that for the layperson, you wouldn't build on top of a foundation if the foundation was crumbling. And I don't understand the sequence. We could have any engineering studies if we didn't know the status of what we have.
Which is what an engineering design
determines. No, I'm not kind of a nuke here. I'm talking about an assessment.
So am I. That's what you do when you, with the $300,000 that goes into an engineering study, does that work?
It will tell us the quality.
And then it uses that information to say, okay, you need to do this or that.
Okay.
But it's part of an engineering assessment.
And if the community votes neither, that wouldn't happen.
Well, and you also don't just want to go sort of randomly, drill holes everywhere and figure out, the total structure and every piece of information. You want to have a design in mind that says, we want this area to support this function. When they drill, they're going to drill with that in mind. They're going to look at it in terms of your engineering criteria, your design specifications. So they're going to optimize it and save you money.
John Camosi.
Donna, were you going to talk about the last wave break?
No.
Because
not the wave break. I was talking about
to answer Erica's question. The existing stone wharf is in a lot better shape than it was when we were part of the town of Cumberland. There used to be two steel I-beams, and those I-beams at the top of the ramp had holes in them, and it was all rusted through, and it was almost at the point of a serious marine accident. And that's, so when the wave break was built and the cement buttress at the top of where the Islander is, all that's a whole engineered buttress for docking and undocking of the Islander that was designed, and the whole stone wharf was reviewed in an engineer plan at that time when the wave break was built. So that all that existing fendering that the Islander, where the Islander rests and where the float sits, that was all built to help reduce the impact to the wharf and to the settling of the center of the wharf where the bulge is. Does that sound right? I thought this meeting was to construct a bridge to the mainland.
Thank you, John.
You know we want it.
I just voted you off, John.
Who's next? Anyone? Well, this was an easy meeting.
No, Mike.
Sorry to head, Carol.
I actually have three things. One is, as it relates to sea level rise, that is not addressed with the stone wharf study, other than saying, yeah, you ought to raise it 3 feet. Okay. The point that Erica made about the condition of the wharf, is, I agree 100%, you know. You have to make sure that that wharf can hold whatever you're doing, especially if you're adding to it for sea level rise. Which, if you look at the Sunset Study, it's a clean slate, they give you an estimate. If you look at the $6 million for the stone wharf, you're leaving two big things out, the condition of the wharf and adjusting for sea level rise. So it's not apples to apples. They don't have everything addressed. And my final point was, if you are going to apply for grants, and there are several grants, it's probably going to be a multi-year process once you submit that plan to get, even if they approve it, you're going to wait until the money's available. So you're still looking years away from when you'll actually be able to do that construction.
And if I may add to your last point, even though that sounds daunting, and it can be, that might not end up being a bad thing, because in 6 or 7 years, we'll have the debt from Cumberland paid off, we'll have our roads system done, and we'll have some stuff off of our budget, which will help. That's just the math. Anybody that hasn't spoken? I'm going to do Donna, Mary, then John.
What I wanted to say was, the way this whole plan is laid out, giving us some input from the community, giving us the time this spring to try to figure out what exactly it is that we're going to ask an engineer, because we can't vote for an RFP until we actually know what it is we're asking. And then say it's voted on at town meeting that yes, we do an engineering study at site X. So we have that study done, and it comes back, and they say, okay, here's your bottom line. It's really $15 million. We don't know that. You know, we don't know what a final would say. Then there's going to be another opportunity for people in this community to say, wait a second, we want to go look at the other site. You know what I mean? So there's so many places along the way where the people can weigh in. I guess that's what I want people to understand, that there's, and because you don't know all these unknown things, that when you get a final engineering plan, people may be surprised.
Mary.
Okay, just to give us a little hope, the Federal Trade Administration will fund up to 80% of project, and then it would add extra for anything that relates to the Americans with Disability Act and the Clean Air Act.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
John.
I think in all of this, everybody's looking down the pipe with sea level rise and all the other stuff, but I haven't heard a lot of concern about the fact that if you did both of them, you've got a heck of a maintenance cost for both of them. So it almost points to select one or the other and go with that. But having said that, I don't believe the board is saying go with 100%. We ought to go with what we think would be good for the next 5 years or whatever and keep building on it. It may cost more in the long run, but so what? You don't have to do everything in 1 year.
That's right. And again, speaking only for myself, you know, the voters have the final say of what gets expended in this town. The Board of Selectmen can recommend anything they want, but the voters can stand up, sit down, whatever they want to do, and say, we don't like that, so forget it. But whether it's improving the school, which we just did, and I thought that was a good bang for the buck, and you know, that's $115,000 to $120,000 a year for 20 years right now on our budget. We're fixing the roads piecemeal, which we're doing right now each year, which so far has worked out fairly well. I always consider what the yearly impact of the tax rate in the budget is, looking at it every year. Doesn't matter where we are with stone wall, school, roads, myself. So, yes.
should, this is my own wild idea, that I think we should sell Sunset property to a developer with the stipulation that they put in a public wharf and then build housing. We would make money on a few more properties, houses for people to live, it would create a bunch of jobs, and then we wouldn't have to pay for the public access.
Yeah, I know who she's been talking to.
And then we could concentrate on fixing the snowpier while they're doing
it. Go ahead.
Okay. So what we do, if we take Kim's idea, which is very novel, what we've done is we've transported the problem that we have at the Stone Walk with the Hombottoms house and all the people and all the activities there, and we've recreated our own, the same thing for place. But I love the way you think outside the box.
It's 8 acres. It's enough. Is it 8 acres? It's enough room to go to Wharf and then, you know, have some housing in there.
Carol.
Yeah, and I would encourage the selectmen to look for money even for a design project, mm-hmm. because Quebec just got $20 million to build a shop here, and you know that was all. But it's, you know, it's all federal money, and usually you have to connect with the congressional, your federal legislators to try to access the money. But it seems like we might even be able to get money for. You know, for a design, you know, and I think we're talking kind of a stage design either way. I don't know if we're going to a full-blown, you know, this is what it's going to be on the ground design. I think it would be an incremental process in reality. And I think there's money out there, and most of it is at the federal level. There's really the only thing we found at the state level was like $100,000.
Yep.
And that was it.
I agree, and I thought, you know, Mary brought up another point, which if we decide to take a good hard look at longer, wider ramps, the ADA stuff may help us get some money for that type
deadline's
of
deadline's March 30th.
Improvements as well. Yes.
I just wanted to thank you all for your due diligence on this and to reiterate that if money was no object, we probably would do a complete study on both sites and then we would have all the information and we could compare apples to apples. You guys are being more fiscally prudent by saying it's not really the choice for the town to try and carry that burden and getting public input. So I want to thank you for that, and I know there have been a lot of extra meetings and hours, and I encourage everybody to think outside the box, and if you know of resources or ideas of, you know, don't be silent. Nothing's done, and even if we dig a hole and it's like, oh my, you know, like,
right.
You can still stop them and say, we can't do it here. We just get a geyser and we can't plug it.
Yeah, well, you know, we always hope that everyone will just get out and vote, whether it's next Tuesday or at every town meeting that we have. I know it's painful to come to the town meetings and sit through all those warrant articles, but it's heartening when people show up and vote and speak their mind and we hear what they really have to say about what's going on.
Mark, you might want to point out that it's not just a primary where basically Democrats and Republicans can vote, but we would encourage everybody to come out and vote because you don't have to be registered in any party to vote on this or the referendum, by the way, on vaccines, but we won't go into that.
thank
so
you, Jeff.
Just keep that in mind.
Yes.
I just wanted, Nancy said, just thank you all. I think as someone who's relatively new to the community, you're a rounder, it is very complex and it's hard to get all the information sequentially in with the history. So I just wanted to thank you all.
Thanks, John.
While there is this thoughtful process, and when some people think there's a delay, I just want to urge the community and selectmen to consider traffic changes and consumer changes now. That's cost free. All that is whether to enforce them or not. And that's, I think that those are dealt with the details there. But we could change the traffic pattern for safety in a week.
Yes.
And we would all look at that. And then the other thing, I don't know if this is naive since I don't know the problem here, but where is the paving of the stone here? What budget is that come out of? Can you just all making these very prudent big decisions. Is that an option?
Any work that we would propose to put into the existing stone wharf would come out of a wharf reserve account. Right now we have a little over $300,000 in there. Did that answer your question?
So the wharf doesn't come out of any other line?
No.
Transportation or
right now we have we have designated lines for savings to purchase items for the town and to spend. Like we have a road paving line and we have a wharf reserve line.
And that reserve being earmarked for the study.
That's where that money would come out of if we decided to do something like you're describing.
And the cost for traffic changes? A policy change? Is there a
Just to address that, I mean, our brief little foray into that area was to put up some cones to keep people from parking on the walkway.
Yeah.
It lasted about a week.
Yeah.
3 hours. And a whole lot of brunt of jokes, which I can take because that's what this job entails, but it's not as simple as you'd like to think it would be. That seemed like a really simple, and it was effective.
Yes.
And it was effective. But
until
I
ran him over.
Yeah. So
I wish
it were that easy.
We could also look at an individual down there who would be designated for that type of direction.
Which isn't cost free, but.
Go ahead, Ernie.
Don't want to seem overly dramatic or empathetic or anything or foolish, but I'm going to tell you one more time to tell everybody about my experience on the stone pier. And I saw a girl about that big get out of the car on the passenger side, obviously. And she stepped out. And somebody was coming down the wall a little too fast to try to make the boat. Her mother reached out just like that, and she grabbed her by the arm and pulled her back. And I'm going to tell you, I honestly believed at that point in time that I was witnessing somebody being killed, or at least going under a car and being badly stole up. I don't mind telling you, I was sick all day. It was my kid. I wouldn't want it. I don't know what I'd do, but it wasn't, and somebody else's kid. And I care about all the kids. And when it comes to money, I don't know what somebody's life is worth. We just recently had an accident down there, and somebody had to go to the emergency room. The old brother was leaned up against the tailgate of his truck, and car came down the wharf and slammed into his knees. If it had been going faster, he could have screwed up both of his knees. Hank Lutham and I were down there loading trash one day. We were run into twice that one day. And we were way over on the side there loading our most Marjorie Rice ran over Bruce Bowman. He was underneath the car. My whole point is, what it's all up again as stone pier, you've got two-way traffic trying to happen in one lane, and you've got parking on the other side of the road, all the way up to Winky Shelf, and a non-safe situation. And I'm going to tell you, I don't think there's anybody in this room that if we had an accident like I've done there, wouldn't second guess why it is that we need to have a safer situation.
Thank you, Ernie. Anybody else? Thank you. Go ahead.
I'll just say one thing. As somebody that sees, is down there quite a bit and sees a lot of this stuff, and sees a lot of these unsafe situations, and I thought what you guys tried to do with the cones was a good idea, and I thought it did work pretty well, and I thought it was a simple plan. I don't understand why something like that you guys decided to do, and maybe the majority of the town likes, is allowed to disappear because of one or two people that don't like it and run the cones over.
Next time we'll put up jersey barriers.
Or maybe if you look at people, you know, the one person that doesn't like it.
It certainly wasn't clear that the majority of the island liked that.
to me anyways.
I think there's a lot of loud, you know.
I happened to be at the wharf when I got out of my car and I was talking to a person and he was loading stuff down. We were talking about the cones and how it was hard when you backed back. I got on the boat, he came up to me and said, "You're not going to believe this." I just backed over and ripped one out. He didn't do it on purpose, it was the broad daylight. I know that somebody did go up there and do some, but some of those were just because they got caught up in people's cars. You know, maybe they go back to the ones that flip over and don't get ruined. You know?
I watched like five of them get taken out within 3 hours by one person.
Well,
everybody saw, and it wasn't an accident.
No, but I'm saying the ones that I'm just saying that some of them were an accident over time. That particular, it was an engineering issue. They were too easy to.
Go ahead.
I have just not said anything, but I've been listening, and it sounds to me like, once again, it's a long-term plan. We're not going to have a solution anytime soon. I think phones are a great idea. They're not incredibly expensive. Let's do it again, and let's call out the person who runs them over. And I also think that Joe's idea, and I hadn't heard it before, of filling in that culvert and creating some more parking spaces, and then maybe doing a redirect with traffic and not allowing any cars down there. Those are all things that could be put in place before July 1. And that gives us a solution to some of the problems while we work through the rest without a lot of expense.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure the side of the road could be done before July, but it certainly could be looked at, and possibly some widening could be started, but I'm not sure it could be done by.
Could it be gravel instead of asphalt?
Sure it could, yeah.
I mean, a lot of the parking spaces are on gravel as it is.
Yeah. Jackie?
I applaud your mentioning the idea of having a human being directing traffic.
I'm not saying I back it yet.
No, but that led me to think about our, I'll call him or her the deputy sheriff, whoever that turns out to be this summer. Maybe could do some of that.
Not a bad idea. Marjorie?
I was over there when the vote came in, 4 o'clock vote came in, summer, and the clock was there. And you know how it is at 4 o'clock, people going everywhere. First thing he did was jump in his car, and he said, "I've had enough of this, it's just like Boston," and away he went up the road. And the rest of us were all getting run over.
John.
First of all, as far as Sunset versus Stone Wharf, the Stone Wharf is protected during hurricanes. When it's blowing, hard from the southwest, you're protected. You're totally open down at Sunset. So if you invest a lot of money, it's going to wear and tear, and it's going to destroy itself faster, at a much faster rate than what you're seeing at the Stone Wharf. But if you were to dredge and put money into dredging, over from where the Islander now is, all the way over to the barge landing, you accomplish two things. One, you get a 24 access barge landing, which is important for any young families that are building houses on the island because it lowers the cost and it makes it easier for barges and cement trucks and building materials to come and go. But at the same time, if you move the Islander closer, about 60 to 80 feet to the east, towards the barge landing, you start unloading your freight in a circular, you can create a circular pattern. But as Mary was saying, and I've said it before, you really need to take the cars off the wharf so you can actually use the wharf for coming and going, for picking up freight and for dropping people off, but not to park. See what I'm saying? It would make it a lot safer because there's just too many cars parked on the wharf. You need that area to pick up people and to drop off people. And it's kind of ironic that if you pay for a 16-foot boat to be tied up, you got to pay, I don't know, what is it, 150 or 100? I don't know, what's the cost of the permit?
Tie-up fee?
A tie-up fee.
$125.
Right, but you can park for free on the wharf. Even if you don't have a boat, it doesn't make any sense. The cars are doing more damage to moving the exterior and the top granite pieces all around the stone wharf. So really, the cars should come off the wharf. If you do what Joe says, I'm saying in the short run, if you do what Joe says or suggests and fill in the ditch and do a diagonal parking, if you talk to the golf course and add some more parking spaces in there, and then thirdly, create a circular flow and dredge to the barge landing. If you did those three things, you start to have flow down the wharf. Because right now, the problem is you got two-way traffic. You're going down to pick up your freight and you're backing into oncoming traffic as you do it. And so if you were to create a traffic circle in the middle, the far end of the finger, you could have a lot more fishermen safely coming and going, putting traps off and everything else in that area. The other thing I think what Jeff had said at one point, or Ralph talked about, as far as punts, I mean, having more floats in designated areas where people can tie up, even if it's tidal at this point, would make a big difference and might reduce the pressure of where everybody ties up at the wave break. And the other thing I was going to just say is that I think whether it's CTC that does it or the town does it, if there was like two people that were paid to help with freight in July and August, it doesn't have to be, it could be in the morning and the evening or whatever, but to help move freight up and off the dock into people's cars, that would make a significant difference. I've been down there when it's busy in July, and I've seen the harbor master and the sheriff both down there, and they're standing there and not doing anything. And I like them both, don't get me wrong. I don't know if it's in their job description to do it, but if you set up a circular pattern and take the cars off, then you have at least you have a chance of organizing something. You can't do anything while those cars park on the wharf.
Thank you, John.
If you go to Nantucket or Martha's Vineyard, and I know you don't want to hear this, and it's not like we're headed in that direction or anything else like that, but they don't have parking lots on the wharfs. They have satellite parking lots. And I know everybody wants to be able to park and conveniently walk down the boat. You can do that in the off season, but you really can't, you might not be able to do that in July and August. But at the same time, I'm not necessarily for filling in a cove or spending a lot of money so you can park down there. I think there's satellite parking is a far less expensive way of doing it. It's just a matter of how much time you have. Do you want to set aside half an hour to catch a boat, or do you need 5 minutes? But at what speed are you going when you're, you know? So anyway, but the other thing is that we have to look at the long term. The other thing is the 76 barging court. And that's part of CTC and the town working together, going to Yarmouth and working out, maybe renegotiating it so that the amount of freight, maybe some of that can be handled by the barge. That takes pressure off the Independence and the Islander, and then therefore you're moving freight in a different manner that might help alleviate the pressure. But like I said, first thing you got to put that center turnaround in the wharf, as far as I can see.
Thanks. Yeah, in-house policies, whether it's the town of Chabig or the Chabig Transportation Company, that you know those type of policies are sometimes a difficult place to get to, and then enforcing and implementing those policies can be just as difficult. Go ahead.
I just, before we wrap up, I just want to remind everybody that the goal here, all these ideas are great on what we can do with these particular sites. Frankly, we've heard them all before. We've talked about them all before. They're in documents, they're documented. Traffic flow, circles, getting the cars off the wharf. All been talking about. The time is now to get something done and to take some action. We need an engineering study, no matter what we do. And we probably need one at... Hey, guys, we're still talking up here. Thank you. No matter what we do, we're going to need an engineering study somewhere. That's the question before you, and I hope you can concentrate on that.
All these other ideas are great. Come back when we're doing the design, because that's what all half the ideas we heard tonight belong in the design discussion. We're not there yet. So help us get there. Thank you.
Thank you all for your participation in coming tonight. Appreciate it.
Radio Free Shebig signing off.